I'm sorry that we're not going to look at that whole amazing passage. I'd really like to focus in on certain things in verse 8. And this is following Matthew's tremendous sermon on Sunday evening about the early engagements of the Holy Spirit in the soul. And so I felt compelled to spend more time considering the wonder of God, the Holy Spirit, this evening before we come to pray. And in particular, something of how he works in the lives of God's people. And we will, of course, not be exhausting that subject by any means. I'd like to think first on a particular conception of the Holy Spirit, a way of thinking about him, himself, before we look at what the Lord Jesus Christ talks about in this verse 8, about his working being identified with the wind. Because the word in the scriptures, in all the scriptures, both Hebrew and here in the Greek in verse 8, for the Spirit, more literally means breath, as in breath of life, the substance of life. And I think it's a really helpful way to think of the Spirit, not just as fundamental to life, the creating Spirit. Because thinking of the Spirit as the breath of God helps us remember that God acts in the world by speaking. And he speaks by the Spirit and by the Son. The breath and the Word of God are one. The Spirit and the Son are one as God expressed creation by speaking. One as God, as the divine said, exhaled the scriptures. One as God extended the word of eternal life to our hearts with power. The work and influence of the Holy Spirit will always correspond with the holy word of God, and always manifest the character of Christ, and always draw towards the Saviour. The breath of God and his word are always, forever, indispensably united. Our Lord Jesus Christ, of course, amply demonstrated his oneness with God the Holy Spirit, not least in bringing Lazarus and many others to life. And so thinking of this passage and the stress that the Lord places on being born again by the Spirit, we can say, that happened to us, did it not? Resurrected, born again by the Spirit. And so, really, what I'd like to convey tonight, apart from all that I'll say, is the immense privilege that we have of having the breath of life in our souls. We were once sat in church, stiff and static, impervious to the word of God, weren't we? The word of life. Lest we think that we fell in love with Christ by some kind of intellectual enlightenment, the scriptures tell us here that we had to be born again. We received Christ, the word of God, only because he was brought to us by the very breath of God's life. As Christ tells us later on in John 14 and then in 16, the Holy Spirit of God is our indispensable helper. He will dwell within us. We will know him. He will guide us into all truth. He will disclose the things of Christ to us, and he will be with us forever. And we can trace every motion of love from us to and for God, and even our motivation to be here this evening, no doubt, to that secret and sacred moment when the Spirit of God was poised over the dark deep of our souls. Like at the beginning of the world, it was a before and after. He came upon us. He rushed into us like a mighty wind. We were forever changed. We were made new. But not like the new life that he brought at creation, but life streaming out of that which was dead. That's what the scripture teaches, isn't it? That we were impervious to God's word because we were dead in our souls. And in addition to every Godward motion, every true notion that we have of God is entirely thanks to his heavenly guidance and holy presence. It's just wonderful to think that the Holy Spirit is an envoy, as it were, an emissary, being God himself, from that spiritual world beyond the veil. As Matthew was saying last week on Wednesday, the place where the saints rest with the risen Christ. And the Spirit of God is given to us to ensure that we get there safely, and to empower us and to energize us and to encourage us so we have a profitable journey. So if we are assured that the Holy Spirit has come across that mysterious divide from that other spiritual world into our souls, such that our very psychology and our physiology at times are influenced by him mysteriously but unmistakably, just like the wind moves the trees, as Christ puts it in this passage, we can recognize that and be more fully assured that therefore we will go to God in that other world, back to God, with God. The Holy Spirit must go back, as it were, to God. We will go with him, just as he promised. And our own life might at some point be greatly depleted. We might have dementia, or paralysis, or organ failure. And just as so long as we have breath, we are alive, so it is spiritually. So long as we have the Holy Spirit, the breath of divine life, we are alive in our souls. And we will always live. And then at the end, when our mortal life is perhaps reduced to just breathing, when breathing itself is hanging on a thread, when all our agency is gone, we'll not only be literally closest to the life everlasting, but we will also be symbolically closest to the reality of the life eternal in our souls, which is that God's breathing within us is all that really mattered. The Holy Spirit. So there's much else that one can say about the breath of God. The scriptures are full of it. If you interpose the word breath for spirit, it's amazing. But for now, we'll return to verse 8. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the breath of God. So the word that's translated wind in this verse, because of the metaphor that Christ is using, is actually the same word as that of spirit, pneuma. It is the same word. So there's both a very strong identification there, that the Lord has taken advantage of that meaning to give us this message about how the Spirit works. But of course, this isn't the only place. I could have read today the opening of Acts and the Holy Spirit coming on the day of Pentecost, like a sound of a mighty rushing wind. And also, as Ezekiel sees the vision of the dry bones, the Spirit is identified there as the breath of life, creating and resurrecting, but coming from the four winds. There are many allusions to this. Wind, of course, gives motion to things that are otherwise stiff and static. But in particular, we recognize the wind from that movement. Nothing else could have that particular effect on the trees, for example. And so I think what the Lord is conveying here, in addition to a clear message about his sovereignty, is, and I suppose the essential truth that I want to convey tonight, is that the way that the Holy Spirit moves us mightily and affects the life and light and love of God within us is recognizable. And so I'd like first to say a few things about recognizing the Spirit in line with what we can infer from this wind. We recognize the Spirit in our lives as believers because he brings us Christ and he takes us toward him according to the scriptures, as I've already said. And if we are indeed captivated with Jesus Christ, and we're gladly commanded by him, it's all of the Holy Spirit. So I'd like to suggest three ways in particular There are, of course, many others, of recognizing his influence in our own lives. And these three are particularly pertinent to prayer. The Spirit prompts us in the things of God. The Spirit propels us in the ways of God. And we are profited by the word and worship of God because of the Holy Spirit. So firstly, he prompts us. The Spirit intrudes on our thinking, doesn't he, at times? And this is like a gust of wind. And he does this to reveal Christ, to encourage us with Christ, to suggest an action that's in keeping with his ways, and also to warn us away from sin and ungodly situations. And the scriptures are full of examples of the Holy Spirit moving people in different ways. We must be careful to follow such promptings, such compellings. If we receive a strong compelling in our hearts toward Christ, or away from a particular sin or situation, towards serving his people, and perhaps in particular towards prayer, we must follow it, lest we quench the Spirit. I think it's especially important to follow every compelling to pray. Because as with all our spiritual life, we're so perhaps especially dependent upon the Spirit to pray. Praying can be so hard, can't it, at times? But that's not the only reason. I've read a number of stories of people who realize that earlier their safety or perhaps an opportunity had coincided perfectly with a member of their family or friends being prompted to pray for them. Some of you may have had that experience. I'll come back to prayer in a moment. But the second thing is to look out for the moments where the Holy Spirit propels us along in the Lord's ways, like a strong wind in our sails. Peter writes in his second epistle that the holy men who prophesied, who composed the scriptures, spoke as they were carried along by the Spirit. It's a wonderful expression, isn't it? And that in itself is mysterious and tremendous, but there are also countless tales of those who engaged in the Lord's work, not least the Apostle Paul, whose strength would have failed in the Lord's service, but they were propelled along with strength and courage and boldness beyond their means. This is the Holy Spirit. If we are working for God's glory against the odds and we persevere, we can recognize the Spirit's wind in our sails and be encouraged. And similarly with prayer, if we're mysteriously propelled onward and upward, if we stop praying by rote and start praying by heart, we can recognize the Holy Spirit's influence propelling us along. The minister of the church where I grew up used to stay up and pray very late into the night. And I used to wonder how he survived on such little sleep. But I realized that he knew, on the contrary, that he could not survive with little prayer. And no doubt the Holy Spirit propelled him onwards and upwards through the night in this way. The wind in his sails, no other strength. So a few other things about prayer, because we're here and because it's so wonderful to consider about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is profoundly and intimately involved in our praying. God within us offers a glorious and mysterious channel to God in heaven. God within us helps us to pray and to pray properly, giving us the right sentiments, if you like, so that we have the right sense of our sinfulness and the right sense of thankfulness and the right sense of God's glory, the right humility. Paul writes in Romans 8, doesn't he, that the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. And even more wonderfully, God within us makes intercession for us, according to the will of God, with groanings which cannot be uttered. We can then be encouraged that our prayers have immense potency. Not for what we say or what we ask, necessarily or intrinsically, but because God, Father, Son, and Spirit, ennobles them, he calls for them, he conveys them, He enriches them, and above all, he accepts them. And so, if we can owe our praying entirely to the Holy Spirit, what a blessed situation. But prayer is powerful fundamentally because God chooses to bless it as a medium of communication. It's his chosen medium to induce rich blessings toward us. And maybe also world affairs beyond our knowledge. We have ample motivation to pray because of the Spirit's intimate involvement in our prayers. To pray with persistence for divine blessings for ourselves, for others, for situations in the church and in the world far beyond our domain, because God has empowered prayer by the Spirit. Thirdly, we can recognize the Holy Spirit as he brings us profit from his word and also from worship. And this I think of like a refreshing breeze on a hot day. We really need this refreshing so often, don't we? From the Holy Comforter. The heat of the day can deplete us. The heat of our passions can distract us. Considering that it's so often a challenge to come to church, being realistic, and to go up the mountain to pray, or to give out in service of the Lord's people, we can, I suppose, but mustn't come to think that the word of God is void of power, that the worship of God is empty of meaning, that prayer is futile. Because we have, in attending to these heavenly things, the very breath of God's life to refresh us, to renew us, to remake us, remake us for that heavenly future. And all because he first resurrected us. So we can be assured that when we apply ourselves to the heavenly things, the Holy Spirit powerfully applies the rest and renewal promised, like a refreshing breeze. We can especially thank the Spirit, I think, when we not only have moments or times of blessing, but when the blessing stays with us and it lingers for a while. When one of Matthew's sermons keeps blessing us through the week, we can recognize the Holy Spirit for his influence, and he is profiting the word to us. And also, if we're overwhelmed in times, we shouldn't leave the things of God to last. Not least because they'll be even harder to pray and tend to these things. But if we try and put them first, we will receive the refreshment and rest that we keenly need in our lives. So in thinking of recognizing the Holy Spirit, just as we recognize the wind, we have from these three things that I've just briefly mentioned, out of very many ways, we can recognize his powerful and glorious influence in our lives. The Spirit can prompt us in the things of God like a sudden gust. The Spirit propels us along in the ways of God like a wind in the sails. The Spirit also profits us in the word of God, making it like a refreshing breeze. So the primary application of saying all that is that we should be pursuing more of him. May we be filled with the Holy Spirit. Christ conveys in these verses that the Holy Spirit is vital to our spiritual life. He is our spiritual life. There's no greater treasure in our hearts than Jesus Christ. But he is given to our longing hearts by the Holy Spirit. So let's pursue and pray to God for all of his Holy Spirit that he is pleased to give us. That we would not be at all dry or barren in heart or in life, but like that flourishing, flowering, fruitful garden. Of course, in this there's a final wonderful insight into the Holy Spirit's work that's revealed in the Song of Songs. That south wind breezing over the fruitful garden, conveying the sweet aroma of his own work in us to the Father, to the divine heart. And so as we come to pray, We can't ask for anything better than for our prayers, even tonight, to rise with a sweet aroma by the Spirit. That even when we ask amiss, that the Holy Spirit would make up for our failings and our sins, and ultimately we will honour our Saviour. In addition to praying for more of the Holy Spirit's life-giving influence, praying before we worship and read the Word, praying for the Holy Spirit before we pray, let's also prepare our hearts. Our hearts must be hospitable to the Holy Presence. It is our highest calling, isn't it? And our awesome privilege to be the temple of God. Thinking of breathing. If we're to breathe in heavenly things, we must also exhale and purge the worldly things that take up too much space in our hearts. And of course, we can, even tonight, be thankful for the immense privilege that we're not as the dry and barren land because of the breath of life, the commanding, the comforting presence of the Holy Spirit within us. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Holy Father, we worship you for your amazing work for us and within us. And we recognize our complete dependence, our complete unworthiness. And we look to you, Lord, that your power would abound within us, that you would in your mercy even fill us with the Holy Spirit, only so that we might be filled with the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might be filled with his ways, that we might be filled with his love, and that this might spill out of us. Lord, even this desire we know we owe to your Holy Spirit, and we are heartily and mightily thankful for your gracious and gentle and faithful influence on us. We thank you, O Lord, for our times here on Sundays and on Wednesdays, and for the refreshing breeze, as it were, that you give to us in our souls. You cool our earthly passions and you energize us for your service. And so we pray tonight and every Sunday and every Wednesday and every time that we come in prayer and every time that we read your word, that we would be filled with the word of God and the breath of life. Breathe on us, breath of God, and fill us with life anew, that we may love the way you love and do what you would do. In the name of Christ, amen.